to miss Thursday morning at 9 with Georgia State Representative Tyrone Brooks on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, my toll-free. Long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Okay, y'all gonna have to hold my hand this morning. Didn't get home from the school board meeting till midnight. What time is it now? So y'all gonna have to hold my hand this morning, because you need to hold your breath until 7 o'clock. Yes, we have some amazing stories coming out of the board meeting last night, but so be patient with me as I get through this morning. I God bless TiVo. God bless TiVo. Because I sure got to go to the board meeting and stay there till midnight, and then I got to go home and watch American Idol. Oh, is that insane? Is that absolutely insane? Why didn't you go to bed? Had to watch Paris. Had to watch Paris. I'm telling you, I'm going to tear something up. If Paris is not if Paris is in the bottom three, I'm going to tear something up my own self. If Paris is not, is in the bottom three. All right, let's get to the real stuff. Again, because I am a little tired this morning, y'all going to have to pray really hard that I don't cuss all the way through this story. Yeah, y'all going to have to cuss, because my anti-cussing shield is a little, is a little damaged this morning, a little weak. We don't have the power. we don't have the power to fully arm the anti-cussing shields. So pray for me that I don't cuss through this story. Dick, I shoot my friends in the face and the heart, Cheney. Because that's just how I roll. He turned in his taxes. 2005 tax return. And it appears that Dick... I've been to New Orleans twice in 6 months. Is a major beneficiary of the Hurricane Katrina Tax Relief Act. Ain't that some stuff? Oh, Lord, pray for me. Pray for me that I don't cuss all the way through this story. He claimed $6.8 million of charitable deductions, and that's 77% of his AGI, well in excess of the 50% limitation that would have applied absent the Katrina legislation. The press release about his tax returns confirms that Dick, I've been to Louisiana twice in 6 months, Cheney, because you know it takes time to shoot people in the face and the heart. I ain't got time to be in Louisiana when you got friends to shoot. I understand everybody got, everybody has an address, things on their calendar. Dick Cheney wrote a personal check of $2.3 million to the administrator in December in order to maximize the charitable gifts in 2005, in order to maximize your charitable gifts, to make your stuff liquid. He wrote a check for $2.3 million. You got money. You know how the people in New Orleans are suffering. You know what? Scratch that. Reverse the tape. Roll that back, what I just said, because that's laughable. He was saying that, oh, you ain't hurt. Pick the buckshot out and let's keep stepping. That's what he said to his friend. Shoot. A little buckshot. He ain't all that hurt. He took advantage of the Katrina tax loophole and didn't give nothing. Nothing is a technical legal term. That means he didn't give Jack, another technical legal term, zero to Katrina-related charities. And he took advantage of the Katrina Tax Relief Act. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? This is a wicked, greedy, beyond comprehension administration. And they don't give a horse's patoot or any other piece of a horse about you and your issues. And I'm not just talking about Dick, I shoot my friends in the face and the heart, Cheney, because that's just how I roll. What's the phrase? What's the maxim? What's the mantra? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Say it again. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Dick Cheney. You know what? Let's just say it. I think that's stealing. I think that's stealing. When you take advantage of the Hurricane Katrina Tax Relief Act, and you don't give any money to Hurricane Katrina, you don't take advantage, or you don't give any money to Hurricane Katrina victims, agencies. If you don't do that, then I think that's stealing. But absolute power corrupts absolutely. If you sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas, who your daddy? Who your friends? It's not just Dick Cheney. Drug firms are also gouging consumers after taking taxpayer handouts. Okay? In response to, okay, thanks to the huge government grants offered to pharmaceutical companies that turn around and make gigantic profits off of the drugs that they create, Americans are paying twice as much as they're worth for our drug benefits. You see, the consumers are paying twice. First, through federal grants to pharmaceutical companies to develop the drugs, and then they pay when they get to the drugstore. On Tuesday, that would be Tuesday of last week, a week ago today, the global biotechnology company Genentech reported that the company's total product sales for the first quarter of 2006 increased 39% to $1.6 billion. That's Exxon. That's getting into the Exxon class, right? Class of 2006. And the sales of, and how did they do it? How did they get to $1.64 billion, an increase of 39%? They have a colon cancer drug, Avastin. And the sales of that drug increased 96%, and they raked in $398 million just with that drug. And also, you know, I guess if you got a good thing, roll with it, baby. Genentech also said they were seeking approval from the Food and Drug Administration Administration to expand the use of Avastin to treat lung and breast cancer. I guess they're saying, shoot, if it works here, just try it someplace else, and if it don't, we'll just stop using it. Currently, let me try to break this down so it stays forever broke down. Cancer patients, the ones that use this drug, pay about $46,000 to prolong their lives through a 10-month treatment that includes that is the regimen of using Avastin, this colon cancer drug. And let me say that again, $46,000 for 10 months to use a drug. You know what? You can't tell me that there's any drug that should cost that kind of money. You just can't. You can't tell me that that drug costs that much money to use. You can't. You can't convince me. There is nothing that you can say. According to the company's website, Genentech has not decided whether it will change Avastin's price if it receives the requested FDA approval. But the company says lung and breast cancer patients would need a dosage, check it out, cha-ching, twice as high as the colon cancer people use. So that means that they would be paying somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000 for a 10-month treatment regimen of Avastin. What did the executive director of the nonprofit National Legislative Association of Prescription Drug Prices, ain't that a mouthful? What did he say about the cost of this? He said, and I quote, "It's immoral. It's immoral. It's immoral." We are paying this company to test their drugs so that they can come and charge us $100,000 for 10 months use of this drug. You can't, there is no way on God's green earth that you can tell me that it costs that much to use that drug for 10 months. Not, what is it? Painted in gold? Delivered in a diamond pill box? It's not worth it. You cannot justify that except when you factor in the factor of greed. You can't tell me. You can't, just like you can't tell me, you can't convince me, you can't show me, you can't demonstrate to me why the Exxon exec is getting $400 million in his severance package. $400 million. You can't. Nothing he's done. Nothing no human being could do. Could justify that kind of money. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. They say that nothing good comes out of Washington, D.C., or very little good comes out of Washington, D.C., for those of us that are optimists. But I will give the Washington, D.C. City Council members their props. They unanimously approved, and all you legislators that are listening to this show right now, all of you that have access to your legislators, you need to pass this on. City Council members unanimously approved the Prescription Drug Excessive Pricing Act of 2005. What would it do? It would allow consumers to sue pharmaceutical companies if the price of a drug is more than 30% higher in the local market than in countries with comparable income levels like Canada, Germany, and the United Kingdoms. Go figure. A federal judge said that law was unconstitutional. but the city is appealing it. I like that. In Wyoming and Wisconsin, lawmakers have passed bills establishing drug repositories which pool unused drugs donated by doctors, patients, and families and then reissue them to low-income patients. That's not enough. That's not enough. This is about greed. How do you kill it? How do you kill greed? You sue the heck out of them. You sue the heck out of them. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Whoo, you need to get to me. You need to get to me. Paris rocked last night. Paris rocked last night. She is the total package. She's awesome. And she's only 17. I went home to vote. I hope y'all did your business. Took care of your business. All I could do was TiVo it. I couldn't vote. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis, 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer, there's road construction, roadways reduced to two lanes, and the right lane of Van Deventer and the exit is closed. Traffic is slow through the construction zone at this hour. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of the 44 exchange. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way in. 170 looks good. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to 270 looks good. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to Blanchett Bridge, no problems at this hour. Northbound 55 from Richardson to 270 is on the move. Eastbound 40 from Blooming Bridge to 270 looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at McLeod's Landing, that traffic is starting to build, as well as northbound Route 3 to 5570 split. It's building there. Westbound 64 at 5570, look for slight delays. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, look for that traffic to be building as well, especially in the right-hand lanes. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful guide voices guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly cloudy early this morning, then becoming partly sunny by the rest of the day, high around 70 this evening. Partly cloudy, a low in the lower 50s. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 70. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. And on Friday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 63 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 62, both under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care draw. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
Tired of talking to the wall, the TV,
the puppy.
Here, Fido.
314-454-0400.
One of a hot show planned. It has to do with the recent controversy concerning Georgia Representative Cynthia McKinney. Now, you'd think that the Congressional Black Caucus would have been the first organization to rush to her defense. But no, Chairman Mel Watt is doing all he can to put distance between himself and this issue. Remember when he told Liz on the air it's not fair to judge congresspeople on how they vote on issues? Well, it should be no surprise then how he's reacting, or not reacting. A lively discussion with Liz and journalist Lutitia Stills of BlackCommentator.com Wednesday morning here on the Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Oh, man. George Bush, Boy George, is, what is it? Didn't they make fun of Hillary Clinton? For saying, I'm not a stand by my man type of gal. Well, Boy George is. He is sticking like glue to Rumsfeld as the ship is sinking. But what's so interesting is that as he sticks to Rumsfeld, as he sticks to Cheney, as he sticks to Scooter, as he sticks to Brownie, as he sticks to his lies and his deceit and his misdirection and his incompetence and arrogant incompetence. I don't know that there's a worse combo. While they claim that they don't see clearly, other people are getting it. I mean, come with me for a second. As we go to Colombia, Alvaro's Ubres. He's attempting to become president once again. He wants a second term to be president of Colombia. And things were going along. Things were percolating along rather nicely. He's a good friend of this administration. But yesterday, his role got kind of jammed up. He kind of took the glide out of his stride yesterday. When he had to respond to allegations that his government, under his leadership, had colluded with paramilitaries to kill civilians. What's the word, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? In our class, come on, class. If I'm saying paramilitaries killing civilians in Latin America, America, Central America, what's the word that you should be saying? School words, School of Americas. That's right. Mr. Oubre is the last man standing among Washington's right-wing allies in South America. He's riding high in the polls. His success is crucial to the White House. It was seen as a succession of sympathetic governments that defeated in the so-called pink wave of left-wing leaders who have been swept into power in Latin America. But, allegations that have haunted the short-tempered politician since he won his election in presidency in 2002 have resurfaced. They say that there is a conspiracy to assassinate leftists, union leaders, leaking sensitive information to drug traffickers, and right-wing paramilitary groups. There's a magazine, Colombia's respected news magazine, Semana, which includes evidence of a plot by the state security agency to destabilize Colombia's left-wing neighbor, Venezuela. Sound familiar? The fresh rounds of accusations and reports out of this magazine caused the guy, remember, he's in the midst of an election campaign. So he went after, sounds like Bush every day. He went out after the publication's editor, Alejandro Santos. Quote, I'm not going to allow accusations to stand that the government assassinated labor leaders or was implicated in a conspiracy against Venezuela or somehow allowed me to steal the 2002 election. Now, if that's not everything that this government has done here, and if your road dog is George Bush, come on. How are we supposed to believe otherwise? Now, this guy is notoriously bad-tempered with journalists. Question, does that sound familiar? Come on. Does that sound familiar? But his friends on the right have said instead of attacking the news media for reporting the allegations of criminal activity, President Oubre should ensure a full investigation of the charges. Things don't sound too good for the last friend standing of the Bush administration over there in Central Latin America, South America. Central Latin, South America. And oh, how the worm has turned. Now when you say that you're going after Venezuela, all of a sudden folks get mad at you. It's a different world. It's a different world. George W. Bush has lost friends and allies here and support here because of what he's done. And what is fabulous is that it's consistent. He's lost friends and allies outside of here. As a result of the things that he has done, the world is responding to what my mom and daddy always told me. If you sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. And the world is saying, it appears to be saying all over Central, South, Latin America. If you sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas, and we ain't trying to sleep with dogs. So go ahead and stick to Rummy like glue. How's that working out for you? My name is Liz Brown. This will be the wake-up call. Next hour, of course, this is St. Louis Schools Watch. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh no, yes, just an earnest you. It gives me your sweet conversation. That brings this sensation. Oh, love, yes, just an earnest of you. When you in my arms.
Wednesday morning at 8, we have a hot show planned. It has to do with the recent controversy concerning Georgia Representative Cynthia McKinney. Now, you'd think that the Congressional Black Caucus would have been the first integrated into its system sometime next year. The train will have only one car that'll run on batteries with a top speed of 60 miles an hour. A diesel-run generator will provide most of the electrical needs, with two fuel cells making up the rest of the power. Company technicians say the train will be much quieter than conventional trains and will use about one-fifth less energy. Fuel cells make their electricity with the chemical reaction between hydrogen and oxygen, and that produces water vapor as the only exhaust. And Dateline Washington. The episode regarding the confrontation Representative Cynthia McKinney had with a Capitol Police officer 2 weeks ago has now caused a rift inside that department. A source inside the department says although the officer claims he did not recognize McKinney, he in fact knew who she was and deliberately targeted her to cause a confrontation. McKinney is currently facing charges that she struck the officer, who was white, in the chest on March 29th. The unnamed source says the officer was in his third year on the department and was given a picture of the congresswoman while he was on his training section. Black and white officers have started infighting on the department, with the blacks saying the whites harass blacks who work on Capitol Hill, and the white factions saying McKinney should have followed the officer's direction. There has been racial division in that department that dates back to 2001, and an internal class action complaint is still ongoing. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else?
Where else, where else, where else are you going to go to get your shop on this weekend, this week, anytime, anytime? You're going to go to the Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Why? Because the prices are great. Why? Because you can get deals there that you can't get at other Sears. Why? Because gas is $3 a gallon. You don't have to drive to the mall. Get your shop on. Go on over to your neighborhood Sears right there at Union and Natural Bridge. Get your shop on. I'm Liz Brown. Tell them I told you to.
The Webster University Film Series continues with Iron Island, playing Friday through Sunday at 7 o'clock each night. The film will be shown at the Winifred Moore Auditorium, and admission is $4 to $6. For more information, visit webster.edu. Something for you from WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day together.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. Employees of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
ConnectCare, still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to ConnectCare. It's the information you need to know about, but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld are flying in Air Force One. George W. Bush looks at the vice president and chuckles and says, "You know, I could throw a $1,000 bill out of this window right now and make somebody very, very, very happy." Dick Cheney said, "Shoo. Well, I could throw 10 $100 bills out the window and make 10 people very happy." And not to be outdone, Rumsfeld says, well, then, if this is a competition, I could throw $110 bills out the window and make 100 people extraordinarily happy. The pilot looks at the co-pilot and snorts and rolls his eyes and says, "Shoot, ain't they arrogant? Heck, I could throw the three of them out the window and make 56 million people unbelievably happy." About a reference. A racist reference. It's a Condoleezza apparently just seems to be the thing that folks that say I'm not racist are tripping and slipping all over. It's hard to hold your belly in when you got it in you. That's all I got to say. When your belly full, it's hard to keep it from falling over your pants. Okay? Huh? There was a question on a test. And it was a math practicum test. And the students were outraged by the reference in the test. Now, they didn't use Condoleezza Rice's last name, but how many people do you know named Condoleezza? Here's the question. If Condoleezza threw a watermelon just over the edge of a 300-foot roof and tossed it up with a velocity of 2,000 feet per second. When would the watermelon hit the ground? Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Are we sorry? We didn't. Condoleezza Rice chucking watermelons. But race doesn't really play into this. Okay? First she called a coon. Now she's chucking watermelons. But we didn't mean nothing. Maybe if we all just hold our breaths, cross our fingers, and wish upon a star, maybe the NAACP from St. Louis will rush to the aid of the Belleville College and make sure that the person that wrote that question keeps their job, too. Just spin around, click your heels three times, and the local NAACP will be there. Airplane, train, whatever, bus, gas, $14 a gallon, we will be there. We will be there. Condoleezza, coon, and watermelon chucking woman. Ah, this amazing world that we live in. Amazing world that we live in. John, good morning. John?
Sometimes when that alarm goes off, what you were thinking the night before.
I'm sorry, start over again, please.
I said, don't you have to wonder some mornings when that alarm goes off why you stayed up so late the night before? What were you thinking? I know I've done that a million times. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do it. I don't care. I want to see this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, I wanted to call to give an update on civilian review and issues with the police department. It didn't make the daily paper. But there was a press conference held yesterday by the Black Caucus and the supporters, the people who voted for civilian review in the Board of Aldermen.
There was a press conference held by the Black Caucus about this, and the press didn't pick it up.
I did see it on Channel 2 last night.
Okay.
But it didn't make the daily paper.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So they said that they completely disagreed with the mayor's veto, that the police board made a huge mistake in not getting input from the legislative body and from the community, and that the civilian review board passed under those circumstances just couldn't have any effectiveness or community buy-in.
Mm.
And they also said that the mayor's executive order, where he proposed that the aldermen participate in the nomination process, they said that had no effect on the Board of Aldermen, because the mayor can't tell the aldermen, you know, how to handle their business, and that they did not plan to participate in a review board that they considered, you know, a setback for the community.
Well, I think we just really need to call it what it is, John. This is not a civilian review board. It's a sham.
Right.
It's a sham.
It is.
It's a sham. And people just need to say that so that there is no confusion on this. It's not that it doesn't include what blah, blah, blah. It's a sham. It is not a civilian review board.
Right.
Period dot.
It's hard to know, you know, exactly what to call it, except a sham in front of it every time.
There you go. There
but,
you go.
The Board of Aldermen, you know, the majority of people who voted for the Kennedy bill, not Sanders. I think that's a huge statement.
Yes, it is.
And a huge statement that it didn't make.
Thanks for your call, John.
Sure.
Liz Brown, wake up call. I'll be back with the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm sure with a very tired Peter Downs. We didn't get home. At least I didn't get home till midnight. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU.
Yeah, it is what it is. What?
what it was a power outage, and it would be 12 hours before everyone was back on the ground.
It was children and elderly first, with special care to try to keep families and companions together if possible. It was, by all accounts, a delicate, no mistakes allowed rescue effort, as one by one passengers could finally exhale.
ABC's Lucy Yang in Manhattan. Another member of the Duke University lacrosse team could be arrested in an alleged rape case. More from ABC's Aaron Kuchersky in Durham, North Carolina.
The district attorney is trying to identify the third alleged attacker. He says he had hoped to charge all three at the same time, but the evidence didn't allow for it. The accuser said she was 100% sure about Reed Seligman and Colin Finnerty after she looked at a lacrosse team photo, but less certain about a third man. Defense attorneys say at least one of the players has a strong alibi, backed by hard evidence.
The accuser is an exotic dancer. She's black. Her alleged attackers are white. Yep, it's his. The Chief Justice in Saddam Hussein's trial says handwriting experts have confirmed Saddam's signature on more documents, including one that approves death sentences for the killings of 148 Shiites, for which the former Iraqi leader is now being tried. It was 11 years ago today, 168 people died in the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. Former President Bill Clinton spoke to the nation that day.
The bombing in Oklahoma City was an attack on innocent children and defenseless citizens. It was an act of cowardice, and it was evil.
Domestic terrorist Timothy McVeigh was convicted and executed for the crime. ABC News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For example, the 10 million saved is 10 million earned dynamic. Or the our month-end reports actually happen by the end of the month dynamic. Or the yes, I can forecast the revenue, no, I don't own a crystal ball dynamic. How do you manage these dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who switch to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL and customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com. Sign up today and your first month is free.
You don't usually hear about the bubonic plague, but you will now. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
It's the first case of bubonic plague in Los Angeles County in more than two decades. Health workers here say the woman was admitted to a hospital on April 13th with a fever and swollen lymph nodes. A blood test confirmed she had bubonic plague. She's in stable condition. Health workers believe she got the disease from fleas in her home. They say there's no reason to panic. They've gone to her house and caught rodents to test them for the plague. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Stork was circling over Hollywood this week. Two couples welcoming daughters. Tom Cruise's fiancée, Katie Holmes, gave birth to little Suri. And actress Brooke Shields and her husband welcomed their second daughter. And Entertainment Tonight's Mary Hart has more on
the officials with Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region are encouraging all state lawmakers to approve the Prevention First Act. Paula Giannino, the president and CEO of the local Planned Parenthood, says this legislation includes common ground and common sense programs and initiatives to help reduce abortions. Giannino says the Prevention First Act calls for family planning and prevention, emergency contraceptives, and sex education. A hearing on the legislation was held last night before the State Senate Judiciary Committee. Also in Jefferson City, the Missouri Republican Party is applauding President Bush's nomination of Rob Portman as the new White House budget director. Party spokesman Paul Sloka says Portman is a man of integrity who knows the priorities of the president's administration and will be a good watchdog of the money Americans send to Washington. Portman's the current U.S. Trade Representative. If confirmed by the Senate, he'll replace Josh Bolton, who became White House Chief of Staff after Andrew Card left. left that post. And finally, in Brentwood, voters will get a chance tomorrow to hear from Democratic candidates running for the Missouri primary election. A public forum is scheduled tomorrow night at the Brentwood Recreation Center. Charlotte Michelle, who's running against incumbent Charlie Dooley for St. Louis County Executive, says she'll share her plans to form a St. Louis County Residents Committee. Michelle's a retired retail manager from Baldwin and served the Castle Point Community Association when she resided in North County. Tomorrow night's forum begins at 7. And that's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by the Granite Works Spring Special. Granite Works is having a huge spring special, some of the most unique granite you'll ever see. Starting at just $38 a square foot, mention the spring sale and get $100 off. Call 862-6300. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer. Look for road construction there. Reduced two lanes. The right lane and the exit are closed at Van Deventer. Traffic slowed through the construction zone. Northbound 270 from Sappington to Marshall. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 from Riverview to Old Paul's Ferry. No problems there. Northbound 55 at 141 and Lindbergh looks good. Eastbound 70 at K and Mid Rivers. Slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 from Spirit to St. Louis Airport all the way into Mason looks good. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge from the gravel pit onto Laclede's Landing. Look for a heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley. You've got slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 at 8th Street onto the ramps to the Poplar Street Bridge is stop and go. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Look for traffic building there, and westbound 5570 at 64 and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic and Lemay Ferry at 255. Those traffic lights are not working. Please treat the intersection as a four-way stop. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just a tap on the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly cloudy this morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, a high around 70 this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 70, and Friday, partly sunny with a high around in the upper 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 63 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wednesday morning at 8, we have a hot show planned. It has to do with the recent controversy concerning Georgia Representative Cynthia McKinney. Now, you'd think that the Congressional Black Caucus would have been the first organization to rush to her defense. But no, Chairman Mel Watt is doing all he can to put distance between himself and this issue. Remember when he told Liz on the air it's not fair to judge congresspeople on how they vote on issues? Well, it should be no surprise then how he's reacting, or not reacting. A lively discussion with Liz and journalist Lutitia Stills of BlackCommentator.com Wednesday morning here on the Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. It is time for us
those alone in this nation who dare listen to us. Black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in the long and difficult struggle.
St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown, and this is our first edition after our first school board meeting with newly elected school board member Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning. Is that what it is?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Good morning.
It was a long night, was it?
Yes, it was.
Wow, man. I was there until about 11:30 last night, and y'all were still going. Y'all, so how long did you end up staying?
We adjourned about midnight.
About midnight. Well, let's start at the beginning, because I would like to start with your overview of how things were a little different, and then I'd like to walk through some of these items on the agenda to bring people up to speed about what actually happened at the school board meeting. And then I want to let everybody know that we're going to be kind of doing things a little different on the show. We'd like to use the last 15 minutes of the show or so to get some calls from people to about issues that they would like the board to take up, kind of like talk to your school board member type of a thing.
Sure.
So, folks, please call in then so we can get your questions on and get Peter to address some of your concerns out here. Now, going through the agenda of last night, I just want to start with a couple of observations. It was surreal kind of to just sit there and look at the different makeup of the board, and it was amazing the thunderous applause that you and Donna received when you just walked out on the stage. It's kind of like, did you feel like a rock star a little bit? Like you just walked out of the stage and folks just started going crazy in the audience, and you hadn't even been introduced yet. And then when they introduced you, everybody was just so happy. It was like, I think I said it in the comments, that there was just joy in the room. There was really, really joy in the room, wasn't there?
There was. It was a huge crowd. It was a standing room only crowd, standing along the aisles, standing out in the hallway and peeking through the doors.
No place to park.
It was the size of you know, the largest crowds back when there were the protester in Roberti, with a totally different attitude. It was
totally
like, hey, there's something good happening here.
Something good happening. You could hear it in the response to the babies and the response to the teachers that got some awards. And even in, and I will say this, it was, I always felt that there was such a disconnect with Darnetta Klingsdale Shamo when she would hand out the awards. She would stumble over people's names, and there was always just seemed to be, and this is just an observation, I can't prove this, but there just seemed to be a distance between her and whoever she was talking to. And it felt differently last night when Veronica O'Brien was talking to the teacher who won the award. There was an emotional connect, and it just felt so much different than that same type of event 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a year ago. Didn't it feel that way too?
Yeah, it felt much. I think Veronica is much more comfortable with people, you know. And Darnetta It seemed very stilted, very false when she was doing it.
And
it
very
seemed
cold.
More genuine.
And very cold and disconnected. So what I also want to point out, just for the audience, because if you didn't have a chance to come to the meeting, you missed an amazing moment. One of the most amazing moments was at the picture taking, when it was your family and Donna Jones's family taking this one big picture together. The audience was just kind of went crazy. It was just an amazing, wonderful moment. It was such a pretty picture. And I was talking to Irene on the drive back home. And we were both talking about how beautiful and how powerful of a picture it was to have both of your families up there celebrating something and reflecting the city of St. Louis in such an amazing way. Did it feel that way to you?
Oh, well, thank you. It was clear the audience enjoyed that. That was the way I wanted the picture taken. They wanted us to take them separately. Mm-hmm. You know, they said, "Oh no, we'll take you, then we'll take Donna," and that didn't make any sense to me. I said, "No, I want Donna in the picture with me. I want to be in Donna's picture." And then I can only call it kind of a mishmash of elementary schools. You have some that are K-5, some that are K-6, that's kindergarten through fifth grade, kindergarten through sixth grade, and then others that are kindergarten through eighth grade. And in the as a board member, you get a big binder, be 3 or 4 inches thick, full of the back materials, what they call it. But it's supposed to be the rationale, the arguments for doing everything that the superintendent wants the board to approve.
When do you get that information from?
You get that information a couple days before the administrative meeting.
Okay.
And the backup material for these three proposals to restructure schools was nothing except a copy of the resolution in each case to restructure schools.
So a PowerPoint presentation kind of a thing.
Oh, no, not even that. It was just one page. It says the board...
That was a backup information?
That was the backup. It was just a copy of the paragraph that was in the consent agenda.
Mm.
That's it. So, I had asked Craig Williams, I'd given him several questions that I wanted answered at the public meeting. Amongst them, I pointed out that there was no supporting material for these changes in the way we structure schools.
And when you talk about supporting material, what kind of things were you looking for, Peter?
Well, I was looking for something that said that this new structure was going to do a better job educating children, how we measure that. For ninth grade, say we have fewer dropouts, they get better grades.
With this reconfiguration.
With the reconfiguration.
There's a study that says if we do it like this, this will happen. Or I have been trained in doing it like this, and this is what the result is. Something concrete like this other than I want to change it, we have to change it, so let's change it.
Right, right. And for the junior high, something that's – because I'm trying to count years here, but 35, 40 years ago – when I was in junior high school, that's where I went to school. That's what we had was junior high schools all across the country. School systems
junior
had
high school.
Junior,
I went
high,
to junior
schools.
High school. I went to junior.
Then later, there was a bunch of research that said, middle schools are better. Grouping kids 6th, 7th, and 8th grade is better than grouping them just 7th and 8th or 7th, 8th, and 9th. And so I wonder, what is the research that says, no,
back to junior.
Actually, junior highs are better.
So you asked for that at the administrative meeting.
So I asked for that. Well, I asked for that in writing after the administrative meeting. I sent in writing and said, these are questions that I will have at the public meeting and I want answers for. The idea being to give him time to collect it. And I didn't want to sandbag him. I actually wanted answers and have a good discussion. And he had told me, he'd have a presentation on it. So we had something like 8 PowerPoint presentations as part of his report, with one on junior high schools and one on ninth grade centers and one on what schools would go to kindergarten through 6 and what schools would go to kindergarten through 8. After And there were other reports, too. Started off with a report on No Child Left Behind, teacher absenteeism, several
things. And I noticed a pattern of how Craig Williams does stuff. He always starts off with, we're bad, teacher absentee. And I'm not saying that it is not bad, but it's the order of his presentation is, things are horrible, 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 so now we got to do this.
Yeah, pretty much. And the presentations, they're great sales presentations.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So for junior high schools as well, it'll increase academic achievement, increase graduation rates, increase the number of students who go on to college. It'll increase community collaboration. It'll make safer schools. It'll create these wonderful learning environments.
But that's the PowerPoint presentation.
And that's the PowerPoint. So it says it will do all this stuff. And then, you know, but the question is, and I think the question some of the other board members, not just me, had in their mind was, all right, yeah, I mean, this sounds great what it will do, but what's the evidence that it will actually do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like. You
and
know.
Also, how much is this going to cost?
Yes.
And how are we going to, okay, smaller classrooms, more teachers, where we're going to get the teachers from, you know, that there's a big problem with having substitute teachers. Some schools, 40% of the teachers, over 40% of the teachers are substitute teachers. Okay, that's the problem.
Right.
What's the solution to that? Other than we're going to have it. You know, we're going to not have, or we're not going to have this anymore. What's this? How do we get from A to C?
And that's the piece that is actually, I think, still missing.
Mm-hmm.
The four schools that are going to be turned into junior high schools are schools that have failed to meet standards under No Child Left Behind mm-hmm. Act for 5 years. But there's just like every one of these is a school without enough teachers.
And not only that.
They had, you know, 30, 40% of the teachers there are substitutes.
Mm-hmm.
And another 20 or 30% of the teachers there were first-year teachers this year.
And not only that, Peter, when you look at the number of years that they had the principal, the longest principal that had been in that one of the schools was 3 years. Then we had 2 years. Then we had 1 year.
Right.
So they had high turnovers in principals, high turnovers in teachers. I mean, it was a recipe for, of course, the school's not doing well because there's no, if you have all these changes in your house, if you don't have the same mom, you lose your dad, and if you keep moving from place to place, you're not going to be healthy or effective as a child. So, of course, these school, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to predict that school is not going to do well.
Right, right. And so the response is, well, we're going to change them from 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. We're going to make them 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. Okay. And he says, and we're going to have, you know, they're going to be full of highly qualified teachers. Well, that's easy to say.
That's
the problem is, how do you get them? Because we didn't have them there.
There you go.
You know, that's the problem is we have not had highly qualified teachers in those schools.
And how does
so change, how do you get there?
And how does changing the name of a school to a ninth grade academy change that? Because what I saw was a change of making a headmaster or making him a dean, that the principal will now be called a dean or a headmaster. Cool, whatever you want to call it. But we started at A, we're now at C. What happened to B? Because we need the B part of it to how did we get to C? And there wasn't any B in there.
Right. And I know Bill Purdy asked about, you know, how are we going to fill these slots? There have mm-hmm. been substitutes. The problem has been the number of subs.
And what was his answer? What was Craig's?
I asked about that as well. His answer basically was, we're going to do it.
And that was my so let me get to my question, because I was at the administrative meeting. I heard you raise these questions. I know that you asked that you submitted these questions to Craig Williams. You asked him, what's the body of work that supports the changes that you want to make? Give us the critical analysis of how the B, you know, how you've gone from A to C. Give us the B piece. How is this going to work? What are the steps that you're going to take? What is this going to cost us? How is this going to be done? And what I heard at the board meeting is Craig Williams mentioned Oprah's name. Did you see Oprah when he was asked that question?
Yeah, he did.
He had Bill Gates on there. Did you see Bill Gates? He had lots of money. We might want to get some of that money. And then he responded, and this is again, at $300,000 a year, I'm very concerned about this. He said there was an article that he thinks was in the Chicago Trib that he said kind of supports what he's talking about. I have to get you a copy of that article. So in response to where's the body of work that supports the kinds of changes that you're saying are going to work, he said Oprah, Bill Gates
made the required progress. The district is required to reorganize them. They can reorganize them by changing the principal and teachers, by turning them over to private management, by making them charter schools, and or by letting the state take them over. And the state just says, well, we don't want to take them over. So we have to reorganize. So basically the way I interpreted his non-responsive answer was there's nothing to educationally justify doing this, but the law requires us to reorganize the schools, so this is how we're reorganizing them.
Okay, but my, you know, the concern that I have is, Peter, that you interpreted what he said as opposed to him saying that. And you asked for something, you as a board member asked for something very specific from him, and he did not provide that. Are you not at all concerned about the superintendent getting a pass and feeling comfortable in not responding to things that superintendents all over this nation respond to when a board member asks them? How do you, you're the one with the expert, you're the one that's getting paid the big bucks, you're the one with the resources. I have a question on what's the body of work that you base your decisions on, and you give me Oprah and Bill Gates. Isn't that a problem?
It is a problem. I don't think it's a problem that's going to be solved in one meeting or probably even two. It's I look at it as a relationship problem, and it's something that he's got to be brought along on.
Okay. And are you a little bit troubled that the bringing along of a superintendent means you have to bring him along to get him to do things that are his job?
Yes, I am, but he hasn't had to do them before. You know, he didn't have a board that wanted backup information before. So I think there is a learning curve in here.
So how much time does he get?
I don't know. I got to play by ear. I don't know. I haven't set a deadline.
Okay. All right. So so what happened with the vote? So you all voted for this restructuring.
Yes.
We don't have the details of how this restructuring is going to work. When are the details going to be forthcoming? When are we going to find out what teacher? I mean, because it was also the other component that we talked about at the administrative meeting, the notification of the parents.
Right.
And there are a whole lot of missing pieces to that. What's the deadline on that?
Right. There are two. He was talking about November, December. For the junior highs, the students who are 6th and 7th grade now would continue their 7th and 8th grade next year.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm here with Peter Downs. Stay with us. Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontra Busby calling you from McLean School, second grade room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurey. And Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Rise Supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Hello, St. Louis. It's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy, inviting you to join us for the Travel Planner Show every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4.
We talk travel, share our experiences, tell you about some great deals and steals, and give you some travel tips like this.
We always cross-pack at least one change of clothes in each other's bag, just in case a bag gets lost.
Plus, it sure does give the security guys a good laugh when they see those little panties in my bag.
So tell a friend, it's the Travel Planner Show from 2 to 4 every Saturday afternoon
on Radio Free St. Louis, 920 WGNU.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. We will look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Toyota, the greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer, they're reduced to two lanes as road construction has the right lane of Vandeventer and the exit closed. Traffic is slow through the construction zone at this hour. Westbound 70 at Adelaide, look for a disabled vehicle on the shoulder. Eastbound 70 at St. Louis Avenue, look for an accident. Northbound 270 at 55 and Marshall, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 55 from Richardson 270 looks good. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to 79, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40, look for from 141 all the way into Mason, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley, it is slow as well. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge traffic from Gravel Pit onto Laclede's Landing, look for heavy volume as well as on the bridges. You can expect some delays there as well. Also northbound 67 at 55, look for an injury accident, and also eastbound 30 at Summit, there's an accident there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through April, purchase four tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive free complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day, a high around 70. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. For Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 70. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have partly cloudy skies and 63 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting partly cloudy skies and 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. It's St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the
April 23rd. The St. Clair Arts and Crafts Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, sponsored by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Wednesday morning at 8, we have a hot show planned. It has to do with the recent controversy concerning Georgia Representative Cynthia McKinney. Now, you'd think that the Congressional Black Caucus would have been the first organization to rush to her defense. But no, Chairman Mel Watt is doing all he can to put distance between himself and this issue. Remember when he told Liz on the air it's not fair to judge congresspeople on how they vote on issues? Well, it should be no surprise then how he's reacting, or not reacting. A lively discussion with Liz and journalist Lutitia Stills of BlackCommentator.com Wednesday morning here on The Wake Up Call.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Miss Liz. This is Kaylin Dix. I call you from the Clee School, second grade room, 209. I'm calling you to thank you for coming to our school and spending time with our class. School is almost out. This summer, I'm going to spend the summer with my family. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the pretty African necklace you gave me. I just love it. Yesterday, I received an achievement trophy in our awards day program. Have a wonderful summer. This is Caitlin Dixon for room 209. Redictancy ranks supreme. Love you.
Love you.
Don't say goodnight.
Can I say
this is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. I'm here with Peter Downs. I'm Liz Brown. Peter, let's hop to the consent agenda because I think that this is very, very important. Craig Williams talked and read stuff that you could read up on the board. It felt like he was trying to make the meeting longer and longer, not having to deal with this consent agenda. We get to the consent agenda. There's quite a bit of controversy about a lot of the different items. I'd like to get to one of the ones that was the most controversial from my perspective of the talk about it, people pulling me aside, talking about it, calls I got, emails I got before that, this almost $6 million construction management piece. And it was way down at near the end of it. I think it was like 38 on the agenda, something like that, something pretty far, 34 on the agenda.
I'm looking for
pretty far down on the agenda. We're talking about, 34 on the agenda. And let me read it for the audience. It was resolved that the School Board of Education authorizes the St. Louis Public Schools through the superintendent or his designee to enter into a contract with Kwame Building Group for construction management services in an amount not to exceed $5,863,000 for the period beginning April 19, 2006 to July of 2008. Gary Huey, Chief Operations Officer, you brought this one up. You noted this at the administrative meeting. What were your concerns about this particular piece?
Well, the first concern at the it's a big contract.
It's $6 million.
It's $6 million. We have, if you look back earlier, there are several air conditioning contracts for specific schools. Mm-hmm. They're being done by a process called design build, mm-hmm. Which in the industry basically means you hire one company. They're responsible for designing and then building the whole thing. Mm-hmm. All you do, you tell them how you want it to work, kind of a performance specifications called. Instead of, so you don't tell them what equipment to use or where to put things, that's on them.
Okay.
All right. And then they turn over a system and you test it out. And, yeah, it works the way you want it to. It's cooling and heating your building the way you want it to work. It's something that has grown a lot in the last 10 years because companies and municipalities and stuff, the people that hire contractors, like dealing with one person. Mm-hmm. It's just one person, one entity to deal with. You aren't trying to juggle three or four who might be arguing with each other on what it is they're supposed to do. So you really need less. Typically, you need less management. Mm-hmm. Generally, in the industry, when you have design build, you have the owner deals, and somebody who represents the owner deals directly with the design build. You aren't going through architects. You aren't going through construction managers. Now, the argument was, well, we have a lot of these, so we need someone to manage them. That's fine. There's a discipline called program management, which does that. Mm-hmm. And it's less than a full-blown construction management. So my concern was, why are we going with one instead of the other? There might be good reasons. But in trying to figure out why that is, I received from one of the companies that lost this bid to file a form of protest against the bid.
Did that factor into your decision making, that the fact that they had filed a protest?
No, because by last night, when it came around,
you know, a lot of discussions individually with other board members, and it became clear the idea there's less and less concern over the way the contract was let because the consensus was, you know, this is building and maintenance work, you know, supervising. We used to have a construction engineering department within the school systems, architects and engineers, who oversaw the construction projects that the school system contracted for. And this is a good time, a good way to start bringing that capability back in-house, back in the school system.
Well, and that's what Bill Purdy was articulating at the board meeting last night, that he wanted to. He said, I don't have a problem with the bidding process. You did it right. I've got no problem with that, but I don't like outsourcing. I just believe for this kind of money, we can find somebody to bring in-house and do this. We don't have to spend $6 million outside of the school district. Let's bring some of our people home, bring this in-house.
Right. When we had it in-house, we were spending about $600,000
a year. $600,000 for the whole
services. The RFP that was put out by the school district was a full-blown RFP for program management services. And program management, I heard you state earlier, was different from construction management, that it was scaled down. But in essence, the program management method of delivery is actually encompasses more. Construction management involves discipline. It's not just a method of delivery. Construction management is a career. And what the construction manager does is manages construction through value engineering, providing oversight, estimating, scheduling, and budgeting, things that are currently being done now by a firm that was not solicited properly. Now, we know that. But moving forward, the program management includes several construction management tasks, whereas a construction manager manages one project, a program manager manages multi-projects. And I understand your sentiments on bringing these in-house.
And because that's really what the issue is now, as I understand it, Kwame, that, you know, because what I heard at the board last night was everybody was saying, we've got no problem with Kwame. We have no problem with the process, but we want to bring some people in-house. And how do you respond to that desire?
Well, I think that is an important question, and that was going to be the second part of my comment.
Okay, can you hold that, Kwame? Can you hold that? Because we have to take a break.
Okay,
right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to let you hold on that. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call, and, of course, St. Louis Public Schools Watch with Peter Downs. We'll be back after this. Stay with us.
Please. This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from a clean school, second grade room 209. Miss Liz, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful message, African message that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eyes, just like my teacher. I'm in room 209 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
Need cash today? Visit MelsCash.com without delay.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Tacoma. The head of the Centers for Disease Control says there is no evidence that bird flu is going to be the huge threat to humans that is being reported in the press. Dr. Julie Gerberding said at a conference of health department officials in Washington State that while the disease has killed millions of birds, only 100 people in the entire world have actually died from it,
and about 200 people have become sick from the bird flu. And all those victims had intense daily contact with the infected birds, more often than not even sharing the same living space. Dr. Gerberding says there is no doubt that the bird flu will eventually reach the United States because of the migratory patterns of birds. But when it happens, she cautioned the media to be responsible in its reporting and not make it into an unnecessary panic. Her statement is in direct conflict with a statement that came out last November from President Bush, who encouraged the public to prepare for a potentially devastating outbreak of this infectious disease. And the Dateline Mexico City. While Mexican government officials are crying for humane treatment of its citizens who enter the United States legally or otherwise, the government there cracks down harshly on any undocumented aliens who migrate into Mexico. Police and federal troops hunt down illegals at railroads and bus stations, and many times what money the illegals have is stolen by the authorities, and then they get deported. Many migrants say they are harassed at every stop in Mexico, and they're not allowed to continue unless they can give money to the inspectors. Female migrants say they are usually strip-searched for the pleasure of the inspectors. Mexico's Interior Secretary, Carlos Abascal, said this week that Mexico is a country that has a clear, defined, and generous policy toward immigrants. Yet, Mexico has only given legal status to a paltry 15,000 immigrants, and that's over the last 5 years. Mexico itself has now become dependent on immigrant labor, and most of the people
as ruining your life. Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in AM 920 WGNU every Monday through Friday from 2 to 5 in the afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA. Then go do the right thing.
Wednesday night is West Wing night here on WGNU. From 8 to 10 p.m. every Wednesday, Herb Stack is your party line host to help you get through your hump day. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 for the West Wing with Herb Stack here on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. Also online at www.wgnu.net.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Wednesday morning at 8, we have a hot show planned. It has to do with the recent controversy concerning Georgia Representative Cynthia McKinney. Now, you'd think that the Congressional Black Caucus would have been the first organization to rush to her defense. But no, Chairman Mel Watt is doing all he can to put distance between himself and this issue. Remember when he told Liz on the air it's not fair to judge congresspeople on how they vote on issues? Well, it should be no surprise then how he's reacting, or not reacting. A lively discussion with Liz and journalist Lutetia Stills of BlackCommentator.com Wednesday morning here on the Wake Up Call.
Don't forget, MelCash.com.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
This
is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Liz Brown, and we're talking about last night at the school board meeting. We're talking about item number 34 on the consent agenda, and we have Kwame Thompson on the line. Kwame.
Yes. Yes, Peter and Liz, I think that by not hiring a CM consultant, whether it's Kwame or not, I think that we really are going to do the St. Louis taxpayers a disservice. And I say this because having an owner's representative has been proven to save money. Now, you say that you want to bring these services in-house, Peter, and I understand that other board members are echoing that sentiment, but I want to give you an example. Let's say you and your family are going to build a house. Would you hire a manager as an employee for your family, or would you outsource that? When your family goes to the doctor, would you hire a doctor as an employee? No, because there are costs involved that the school board does not want to pick up. There are employee issues. It is proven that outsourcing construction management services has saved money in the long run. This program is going to last for several months, and we're talking about the HVAC upgrades. Now, what are we going to do at the end of those several months? This is a bond that was passed, and these funds are there for this specific reason, for this short amount of time. And that's why we outsource these services. Many companies ours are comprised of attorneys like myself and engineers and architects who manage these projects.
Kwame, let me ask you a question. We only have a couple more minutes.
Okay.
But are you saying that the bond money is term limited, it's time limited, that it evaporates after a period of time?
Yes. There are stipulations that this money has to be used within a certain amount of time, as it is with all bonds.
And what is the time? What is the term limit on this bond money? Do you know?
Yes.
What is the term limit on this bond money?
I'm not exactly sure. I'm looking at, I'm thinking closer to maybe 20 months, around 20 months.
That this money has to be spent.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and we understand that your point on that, but I guess if a district is, and Peter, you can speak to this, if the district members are not fans of outsourcing and, you know, they
And they aren't.
Yeah, and the district is not. So it's a philosophical difference, Kwame.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also an academic one that's been proven. I mean, school districts who do these major capital.
The vote on that was 4-2.
4-2, and the answer was no.
The answer was no.
The answer was no. Let me get to a couple of our callers out here that have some questions or comments. Mary, do you have a question for Peter?
Yes, I do. I was at the meeting. Good morning.
Good morning.
To you and Peter. Listen, I was concerned about the solution that William Craig gave on the ninth grade students that's failing, and what is I didn't understand his solution on how he was going to solve it. And my point is, how do you solve a solution with students that's failing unless you have qualified teachers to teach them? Thank you.
That's a good point. And that's the crux of the matter. We can change the name of the grades or whatever we want, but unless we can get the teachers, none of it's going
to
matter.
Well, and unless we can get the plan, we're not going to be able to evaluate whether or not the program is going to work either, because we don't have the plan for the implementation of this, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
Correct.
So when is the due date on that plan?
He was talking November.
November of this year.
Of this year,
of
yes.
This year. And, Peter, when are the next meetings? Because, again, standing room only last night. It should continue on. A lot of things were said no to, and I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to get to a number of them. There were some great decisions made. We'll carry on with this next week, but what are some upcoming meetings?
Well, the next school board meetings will be in May. There'll probably be a special meeting sometime later this month. I don't know when yet. It hasn't called. But the next regular school board meeting will be the second Tuesday in May.
And the administrative meeting will be?
The administrative meeting will be the first Tuesday in May.
First Tuesday in May. Peter Downs, school board member, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And great job last night.
Thank you.
All right. I'm Liz Brown. Wake up call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
My back manager can pull it out. This engine. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out. That's not progress. Progress is healing the wound. That's the road. That's the donation.
I'm giving revolution. We can't help the brother.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. City St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. We paid more for things like gas and clothing last month, and it shows. Consumer prices shot up 0.4%. President Bush is promising to keep an eye on what's going on. ABC's Ann Compton has details from the White House.
He doesn't pump his own gas, but at more than $71 a barrel, President Bush does promise American drivers that Washington will keep an eye on the price.
The government has the responsibility to make sure that we watch very carefully and then investigate possible price gouging, and we'll do just that.
The president blames high prices on the demand for crude oil and on seasonal changes in the mixture of gasoline. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
There may be another arrest soon in an alleged rape case involving the Duke University lacrosse team. An exotic dancer says she was attacked at an off-campus party. More from ABC's Aaron Katursky in Durham, North Carolina.
The arrests of two lacrosse players come as a relief to the accuser, says her cousin Jackie.
She was a little concerned after the DNA came back that there was no DNA found, so she's a little relieved, just a little bit relieved that arrests were made yesterday.
Defense lawyers for one of the arrested students say the district attorney never interviewed their client. They say Reed Seligman has a solid alibi backed by phone records, eyewitnesses, and a debit card transaction that proves Seligman was not in the house when the accuser says she was raped. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Durham.
New York City's Roosevelt Island tram is not working today, and it won't be working until an investigation into yesterday's mishap is completed. The two cable cars that take people across the East River lurched to a halt during a power outage, and it happened at the height of the evening rush. 12-year-old Dax Mayer was one of the dozens of people on board the car.
I learned that if you always stick together in a one group and not panic, you can go a long way and good things will happen.
And he got to know those people. They were stuck on that tram for up to 12 hours. This is ABC News.
Well, you can tell your feet to stay right in your seat. A server's gonna bring it to your car. And you can tell your tongue it's gonna have some fun. Cause Applebee's is ready when you are. Car side to go. In case you didn't understand, you call up Applebee's, you order what you please, and
veggies. Discover new Allibert Citrus Burst. The instant it touches your tongue, it bursts into action. And you know allergy relief is on its way. New Allibert Citrus Burst is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a great-tasting, quick-dissolving tablet. Get the allergy relief you need to keep going. Try new quick-dissolving...
This report is brought to you by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In St. Louis, employees of Finninger's Catering are in shock after a co-worker shooting spree. Police say the gunman, identified by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch as Herbert Chalmers, first shot his 53-year-old former girlfriend, Sylvia Haynes, at her North St. Louis apartment. After going to a Walmart to buy ammunition, he then shot three women at Finninger's, killing two of them before taking his own life. 79-year-old co-worker Cleo Finninger and her 44-year-old daughter Christine Polite were killed. Another woman was wounded and is reported to be in stable condition. Co-workers say Chalmers was upset because his wages were being garnished for child support. Elsewhere, Missouri health officials are continuing to keep a close eye on the mumps outbreak in the Midwest. Brian Quinn, a spokesperson for the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, says the majority of those infected with the virus are college-aged people. He says it's important that schools take action to stop the spread of the disease.
You know, from them to the parents and say, there is a mumps outbreak in the United States. We want to protect our students. We know you want to protect your children. So please make sure your kids are up to date.
Quinn says younger children are more protected from the mumps because they've been vaccinated more recently. He says anyone who comes down with the mumps should stay home and limit contact with others. Symptoms of mumps include fever, headache, and swelling of the glands around the jaw. Finally, this hour in Brentwood, voters will get a chance tomorrow to hear from Democratic candidates running in the Missouri primary election. A public forum scheduled tomorrow night at the Brentwood Recreation Center. Charlotte Michelle, who's running against incumbent Charlie Dooley for St. Louis County Executive, says she'll share her plans to form a St. Louis County Residents Committee.
And they would bring their problems of their community, and I would have the department heads there the following month to bring up a solution, because that's the only way we're ever going to find out exactly how all of our problems are existing out there, what they are, and then by everybody networking together, we can come up with a solution.
Michelle's a retired retail manager from Baldwin and served the Castle Point Community Association when she resided in North County. Tomorrow night's forum begins at 7. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by Midas. What's the most important safety feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas touch. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Eastbound 40 Vanaventer's road construction is reduced to two lanes. The right lane and Vanaventer exit are closed. Traffic is slow past Hampton. There's an accident just east of Hampton as well. Eastbound 70 on the exit ramp to St. Louis Avenue, there's an accident involving a car fire. The ramp to St. Louis Avenue is blocked. Southbound 270 at Page and Olive, look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Northbound 270 at 55 and Big Bend, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Merrimack River Bridge, you've got slow traffic to report. Westbound 270 at Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into New Hall's Ferry. Look for everything to be on the move. Eastbound 70 at Lake St. Louis and 79 stop-and-go traffic. There's an accident at Bryan Road. Eastbound 40 at Timber Lake and Mason. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and Hanley. Look for slow traffic eastbound 70 from 270 to St. Charles Rock Road. Look for slow traffic northbound 270 at 40 and Ladue. Look for slight delays westbound Kingbridge traffic between the 55-70 split all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for heavy volume going on there northbound Route 3 at Monsanto and the PSB. Look for stop and go traffic westbound 64 to 55-70 split. Look for heavy volume going on there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy skies this morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, a high around 70 for this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 70, and Friday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 65 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 64. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to get to me via the net, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU or www.wgnu.net or lizbrown.com. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. And don't forget, the shows, my shows, are archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. Get to me. We have much to talk about. Where do we begin? We are waiting for our, hopefully we'll be able to get our guest, Letitia Stills, on to talk about the Cynthia McKinney aftermath on. We're having some challenges in getting her. Hopefully we'll be able to work that out in a few minutes. So for those of you that are waiting for that show, be patient. We will hopefully be able to get to her a little later this hour. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning. I enjoyed the meeting last night. It was just wonderful. And I left just a little ahead of you. It was after 11, and it was thunder and lightning when I got outside, but I was glad to see that. But I wanted to say about the music books. We keep books in the St. Louis Public Schools at least 10 years. And the children don't want to start in the second grade hearing songs being sung. When they get to 12th grade, they're still singing the same song. Different things happen in the world. Musicals come out and different things. And I don't think the teachers need to be bound by a book like that because there's so many changes. Besides, the music teacher should belong to the Music Educators Conference and the MSTA, Missouri Music Educators Association, which meets every January. And so new music comes out and they get exposed to it. And they should not, I don't think, should be bound. Of course, they have been buying choral music. But the children should be taught to read the music and to sing the music. And if they should read notes just like they read words. This is what they should be taught. And we're not doing enough, we're not pushing enough of that. And I would like to ask the parents who are listening to encourage, not only to encourage their children, but I wanted to say this also. I noticed that when I went to Korea last year, my son told me, he said, Mama, you see those children standing there, are those girls walking, are those boys walking? These children are going to tutoring. In Asia, education is so important that the parents want their children to be top. They do not stop with just the school instruction. They see it there at all possible.
Well, there's a difference culturally, and if we're talking about, let's talk about Japan, for instance. In that particular Asian culture, there is a component of, or the constitution. Children are constitutionally protected within a constitution protected. It is written into the constitution that there are certain things that children will get, education being one of them. So there is a cultural philosophy that allow, and parents have smaller families as well. So when you have a
I think you listen to my point here. My point is, with as many toys as the things that our children are exposed to by their parents, I want education to be just as important.
But I mean,
that's
you made,
saying,
like, but you made the connection. Lessons. But you made the connection of Asia. Okay, and so what I'm saying though, what I'm saying is before you just pull the credit for how it's done in a different culture, you have to understand how a culture got to a place. We don't have it within our constitution of protection of children. We don't care about kids like that.
But before we got to be to have more toys and more things, education was our most important business. I used to be a superintendent in our district when we with districts had named Dr. Samuel Shepherd, who said, and who his mantra was, and who had all the children to learn this, as well as the parents. Education is my most important business, and I just want us to get back to that, because our children do have the capability.
Of
our
course.
Parents do have the capability of encouraging that.
All
That's
right.
all I'm saying, and I just enjoyed that meet, and I was glad to see you there and meet me.
All right.
Thanks so much.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. So find out what's going on at 454-0400. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. And again, the toll-free long-distance number is number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Well, if you're going to be running for office, I guess what you need to be putting on your resume is I'm a peace activist. You need to be putting on there that I am a peace activist. Michael Berg is challenging the Republican Republican congressman from Delaware. His son, Nick, was a 26-year-old contractor who was beheaded, and he's running. It's a powerful thing. He has been arrested half a dozen times for civil disobedience. He was arrested at the Pentagon while he was trying to get to speak to Rummy. And he has set out his mouth. Berg has set out his mouth. This midterm election is really a referendum on the war, and it's a referendum on Bush policies. And guess what? He's running as a green candidate. One 877 920 WGNU. Get up and get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
Yvette, good morning.
Hey, I'm just calling because I was a little disturbed about the six teachers from University of Columbia, $99,000.
Okay, well, let me try to bring the audience up to speed here. We're talking again about the school board meeting last night, and there was an item on the agenda of the St. Louis Public Schools where they were asking for, and I'm looking for the item right now, on the agenda, $99,000 I believe it was 12 teachers, was it?
Six
teachers, okay.
Now,
and it was voted down by the school board.
I thought they approved it. Oh, well, then I have no problem.
No.
My call is over.
No, they voted that down, the $99,000. No, in fact, what you heard was Peter Down said, well, you know, I think we need more teachers, yes, but it was voted down.
Yeah, the reason I guess my concern was that there are so many teachers that are already in the public school systems that are working on their master's degrees. We talked about, you know, putting out incentives for teachers to come and to stay. That's $99,000 that we were about to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Why not use that as incentives for those teachers or some teachers with certifications or get masters or whatever?
Out here, and here it is. It was item 27, and it was saying that they wanted the school district to enter into an agreement with the University of Missouri to join the Partnership for Education Renewal Program to acquire six highly talented, fully certified teachers at a cost of $99,000. And I think, and I was talking to Peter about this, uh-huh, event. The problem, not the problem, but the atmosphere at the current board is one of, you know what, we've been through 3 years of HE double toothpicks, okay? And there is no trust, nor should there be, because the trust was broken with the creation of and the election of Francis Slay's board. The people were cut out of the decision making, and the lies began, and processes began without any of our input. We were pushed to the side by this, by Slay and his agenda. So there's no trust there. So when you have an administrator that stands up in a school board meeting and says out of one side of her mouth, these are lead teachers, and then upon questioning by Bill Purdy, I don't remember, Peter Downs,
mm-hmm,
when he said, are these lead teachers? I thought you said that these are just people that just graduated from college. Oh, yeah, these are not lead teachers. When you hear people double-talking like that, when you hear people defensive like that, the natural reaction out of a relationship that is has been a very, very one-sided, non-trust relationship is, I can't trust anything that you say. We have to say no.
Absolutely.
We have to say no to this because out your mouth just now, you said something that turned out not to be true. I don't trust you.
Right.
So they said no to it.
I thought we said yes.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Maybe we can use that to help some teachers that are already there.
Absolutely, because one of the things that the spokesperson for this said that this was a stipend to teachers that were getting paid by somebody else to be here. Well, heck, pay this to teachers that are here, that have been here. And I just really, really am not comfortable with, and even Flint Fowler did something that I've never seen Flint Fowler do before. He asked a question, and he said, well, if we're going to give them this benefit of being here, if we're going to pay them a stipend, do we get a commitment from them that they're going to be here for more than a year?
Absolutely.
And she said, no.
No. Well,
you know, so then, you know, why are we doing this? If we can pay a stipend for somebody for being here, let's pay a stipend to somebody who's been in the trenches, not somebody that's why I can't stand that Can't Teach for America program.
Right.
Because we're paying people to pay, we're hiring people to pay off their student loans and people that don't have to be here and aren't vested here.
Right. And, you know, there are plenty of teachers that are in there working right now, working on certifications,
absolutely,
working on master's degrees. Let's find those people that are already there, obviously, that want to be there.
And one more thing, Yvette.
Yes.
There's also been a serious, and I can only describe it in one way, bloodletting of this district.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds and hundreds of talented people have voted with their feet and have left this district to hither and beyond.
Exactly.
There are districts all across this region that, and they were wonderfully talented people. We have got to go back and recapture the people that we lost during the bloodletting 3 years of Bill Roberti.
Yes.
So there are people out there. We got to bring them back. If we're going to use incentives, let's go get the ones that already have a proven track record with us.
Yes.
Because we have the
people know we want you.
That's right. When we have the personnel files on them, it shouldn't be hard. Let's do a recruitment of the bloodletting has stopped. Come back home.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you, Leah.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Yes, indeed, folks. Yes, indeed. We have peace activists running for office. And you know what? Peace activists that have a chance at it. I think that the fact that we have Michael Berg running for public office, congressional public office, a man whose son was beheaded. You saw him, and you saw how the right held up it's almost as if they held the bloody head of his son up as a reason for us to be in Iraq. They used that baby's bloody, decapitated head as a tool to whip people into a hysterical support of this war, this occupation, this attempt at colonialization. And it only seems right that, you know what? It only seems right that someone like Michael Berg will come out and say, you know what? Enough. You used my son. I'm going to run against you, and I'm going to tell the truth. These are amazing times that we are living in. When we're seeing fearless people like this speaking truth to power and standing up for what is right, and it's about time. And I think that we need to take a lesson from the Cynthia McKinney's out here. We need to take a lesson from the Cindy Sheehan's out here. I think that we need to take a lesson from the are you ticked off? Are you ticked off? Because I'm telling you, I was clowning at my television set. I was hollering at my set when I was watching what went down with Cynthia McKinney.
Well, wait.
And not what broke my heart, but what made it complete for me of how deep racism is and how absolutely feckless everybody who says all these fake, mm-hmm. fake so-and-so liberals out here,
mm-hmm.
when I saw on The Daily Show, and I'm not watching it anymore, when I saw The Daily Show tee off on Cynthia McKinney the same way that they tee off on Tom DeLay, I was through.
Well, you know what, on The Daily Show, and I'm not defending Jon Stewart by any means, but I think he got a ton of negative email in terms of, oh, so you're going to get on the beat up Cynthia McKinney bandwagon, because the very next night he did a segment on racism. And it's like, but I said, that's a good start, but that doesn't go toward apologizing
for you
trying to get involved with this. It was
No. And also, you know, how are you going to do a thing on race and why ain't no black people on your show? Let's just be clear.
Yeah. And I think, but see, unlike, who is it? Unlike like David Letterman or anybody like that, when you challenge them about no blacks being on their show, they tend to think that, well, I got a big enough following, you know, forget that.
Mm-hmm.
But Jon Stewart is the type that, number one, because of his Jewish heritage, he doesn't like to be painted in the same mold as a David Letterman or a Jay Leno. So he, you know, if you give him that type of criticism, he's going to take it to heart. And you'll start, yeah, because I have yet to see, and I agree with you, I have yet to see any black guests on his show that, you know, have, you know, I think with the exception of Mike Dyson, and maybe Mike Dyson might have been on the show that follows the spinoff of The Daily Show, which is the Colbert Report.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, we have to take a break, because I want to get back to talking about our sister, Cynthia McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Liz Brown. We're going to continue this conversation after this break. Stay with me.
St. Louis, 33 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour of traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by State Farm Insurance. Eastbound 40 Vandeventer is roadway construction. The roadway is reduced to two lanes, and the right lane is closed as well as Vandeventer exit. Eastbound 70 St. Louis Avenue, look for an accident been cleared on the ramp to St. Louis Avenue. Southbound 270 at 70 and Page, look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 at Hampton, slow due to an earlier accident as well. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 44 at Bowles and Merrimack River. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 at West Florissant and Riverview. Look for everything to be on the move. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason has returned back to normal. And eastbound 40 from 170 to Hanley. Look for no problems to report there. westbound 64 at Poplar Street Bridge. Everything is on the move. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by State Farm Insurance. Switch to State Farm and your great driving record could help you get a great discount. Let's talk to Agent Sandy Kessler in Florissant and get your reward here and now. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. For today, mostly cloudy early in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon. High around 70. For Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 70. And Friday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Currently, it is partly cloudy skies and 62 degrees at WGNU studios. Lambert Field is reporting 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Thinking about moving? Think Allstate. If you're looking for some cheap flyby night, this is not the place to call. If you're looking for first-class service in local and long-distance moving, Allstate is the only choice. Celebrating 77 years of service to St. Louis and the nation. Allstate Transworld Van Lines, 314...
Join two life coaches, Sandy and Bobby, for an exciting and fun hour of learning how to create the designed life. We'll talk about principles of success, we'll take your calls, and provide coaching to help you achieve the life you desire. Tune in Monday nights at 9 p.m. to The Designed Life on WGNU.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Of me. He's calling black people trash to his children. And he's the only trash.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My guest this hour is Letitia Still. She's a journalist, blackcommentator.com. Joining us from Virginia, Letitia, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Liz. Thanks for having me back on your show.
And we're talking about Cynthia McKinney. Break it down for us. Start at the beginning of this. Tell us what we don't know and probably haven't heard about what happened with Cynthia McKinney and the security guard that put his hands on her.
Well, first of all, I think, even though he probably isn't more than a security guard, I think the Capitol Hill police officer would take offense at being referred to as that. But that aside, my understanding of the events in action was that she was asked to produce her ID. My understanding was that she produced the ID or, you know, but in any case, most members of Congress are recognizable. There's a book that has all 535 members in it with their pictures, so the Capitol Hill police should know a member pretty much on site.
But, Letitia, can we just stop for a second?
Sure.
In the aftermath of 9/11,
uh-huh.
In the aftermath of the trillion-dollar Homeland Security entity, in the aftermath of keeping the Capitol safe,
yes.
Shouldn't we expect that the police officers that are policing our Capitol know on site the congressmen and congresswomen? Shouldn't we expect that there would be some training with all the money that's out there to just memorize the faces of the congresspeople and senators?
Well, Liz, I talked to some sources that, you know, are in the Capitol Hill police that don't want to naturally be identified. But they confirmed to me that that's part of basic training.
You think?
To become a Capitol Hill police officer is that you are trained to know and recognize the members of Congress, all 535 members. I mean, the 435 members that sit in the House and the 100 that sit in the Senate. My own experience has been I attended a hearing on the Voting Rights Act bill, the renewing of the different provisions, and this was probably in early March. And as I stood outside the Senate Hart building waiting to, you know, be patted down, frisked, and searched, I noticed that four senators pulled up in their Suburbans and were let out at the corner. And I'm trying to remember who the fourth senator was, but I knew three of them were Ted Kennedy, Joe Biden, and Arlen Specter. And they were shown into the, you know, the Hart Senate building. They just walked in, you know, and a couple of the police officers called out, "Good morning, Senator so-and-so," whoever it was. So that told me, once I heard about Cynthia's incident, was that, yeah, you're trained to recognize members of the House and Senate on site.
And is it correct, Letitia, that he put his hands on her?
Yes. He grabbed her from behind.
He grabbed her from behind?
That was my understanding. And I got curious about this, so I called a couple of guys I know in law enforcement back out in California, and I said, "Is that normal detaining process to catch someone from behind?" And you know, the response was mixed, but the consensus was you really want to call out and tell them to halt, because if you walk up and catch them from behind, they might stab you with a knife, they might shoot you, because you're grabbing them from behind, and unless you get them in kind of like a football hold tackle and tackle them down to the ground, you might be putting yourself at risk for injury grabbing someone from behind. And then, and additionally, people are trying to say, well, she should have stopped. When you are Cynthia McKinney and you have been receiving death threats, someone who comes up from behind and grabs you by the arm, her reaction at best could be explained away as purely a defense mechanism.
Instinctive.
It's very instinctive, and I'd like to know how a police officer does their job. A lot of police officers feel like, I can do this, I can get away with it, and my captain is going to back me. And this gentleman, to continue trying to push forward with going to a grand jury asking for an investigation as to whether or not Cynthia should be indicted for her actions, that is, you know, a lot of those police officers that I see here in D.C., they are like, okay, this guy's a wimp. I mean, okay, you didn't detain her properly. Why don't you put that down and move on? And I've had other people come to me and suggest that something more sinister may be at work in terms of conspiracy. You know,
I get that. Mm-hmm. I get the history of racism, particularly the history of racism in institutions like police department. It's live, it's well, it's kicking, and people are still dying as a result of that racism within those institutions. Okay, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the black folks at in the defense of Cynthia McKinney?
Well, let's start with the chairman.
And you know what? I had the chairman on my show. I think I've told you this before, and I want to share with you some of the comments that we've gotten from Mel Watt.
Sure.
Okay. Let me share this with you.
Mm-hmm.
Then how do we measure you at all if we don't look at your votes in their entirety? If we don't look at the pattern of voting, then how do we measure what it is?
Well, what is the pattern? If you find 33 people who voted yes and 10 people who voted no, what would that pattern be?
All of these issues are impacting the black community, and it sounds like a little bit of trickery to say that the Black Caucus didn't take a position on this, so you can't evaluate us as the Black Caucus on this issue because we didn't take a position on it. But you're members of the Black Caucus, and those issues impact upon black people. That's his pause. Okay. That's his.
I'm not sure exactly what it is you're asking me to respond to. You got 33 members
okay.
of the Congressional
right.
Black Caucus.
Stop right
it.
There, Howard. Stop right there. So you heard the pause.
Yes, I did.
You heard the long, lengthy pause after that.
He was trying. It was. You could hear him gathering his thoughts. Like, okay, how do I respond to that? And I don't care if you have 33 members who voted one way. You didn't take a position, and you didn't come out and say the majority of the Black Caucus supports this.
And the reason why it was important for me to play that clip this morning, Letitia, because he was defending the right not to take a position, okay, that we don't take positions on issues. How did he do on the Cynthia McKinney? Did he do what he did on the bankruptcy bill? Take a position.
Now here's his position.
He had a position on.
Here's what happened. There were 20 members of the Black Caucus who had a late night confab with Cynthia, and they basically forced that apology that you saw on TV.
That's awful.
That's awful.
And we have to take a break, Letitia.
Sure.
But I want to come back and talk about that, because that's just awful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Today, visit MouthCash.com with Healthy Larry.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only Black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? You're going to get a big screen, little screen, washers, dryers, dishwashers. It's springtime. You want to redo your house. I know you do. And you don't want to have to fill up your tank with $3 a gallon gas. So go to your neighborhood Sears. Great deals, great customer service, great selection. Everything that they have at the mall, only right here in the city of St. Louis. The only full-service Sears in the city of St. Louis. Get on over to 3425 Union. I'm Liz Brown. Tell Jerome Williams I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Need cash today? Visit MouthCash.com without delay.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls
in new radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Don't forget, MelCash.com.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. I'm talking to Letitia Still. She's a journalist in Virginia. We're talking about the Cynthia McKinney story. And Letitia, welcome back.
Thank you.
There was a midnight confab with the Black Caucus. Why did they have this meeting with her? What was their point of view? Why did they need to do this?
you could speculate that Mel Watt had orders from the House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, and I noticed that he is quick to whip the caucus in line behind any directives Pelosi gives out, often to the detriment of the Black caucus themselves, as well as the communities they represent. So it could have been something like that. I also understood that another source said Jesse Jackson was pressuring for the meeting because he did not want Cynthia to become the face of the Democratic Party as you go into the mid-year elections.
Hold up.
Yes.
I got to take my breath here.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Jackson.
Junior. Mm-hmm.
Said he did not want Cynthia McKinney to be the face of the Democrat.
On this issue, on this particular issue. In other words, he was basically trying to say, we don't want to hand the Republicans any ammunition to hammer the Democrats in the going into the mid-year elections. And I'm like, the GOP has handed you enough ammunition to hammer back with.
You have more bullets than your gun can hold.
Exactly. And you can reload and keep firing without, you know, missing a clip.
Fire at will.
Yes. And, to be very honest, I don't know if the Jesse Jackson Jr. comment is authentic or not. I'm still checking into that, but I saw it reported in one of the local papers here in Washington, D.C., who was a columnist that kind of had the inside scoop on this. So,
Letitia, I'm feeling sexism here.
Yes, I would totally agree with you, Liz, because I wanted to share this with your listeners. Now, Mel Watt gives an interview to the Charlotte Observer, I believe, and he too claims to have been victimized by racial profiling by the same Capitol Hill police that stopped McKinney. And according to his version of it, his conduct was more egregious than Cynthia's. He was asked to show his ID. He told the guard no, and he blew right through the security checkpoint there. And then he said he heard a commotion behind him, and he turned around, and a white officer had his hand on his gun as if he was about to draw it. And only because an African-American police officer was in there and recognized the congressman and said, that's a member, they let him through. Now, there was no mention about, you know, Watt wearing that lapel pin that they are making this big fuss that McKinney should have had on.
Because a lapel pin is such a, well, it makes sense in the George Bush world of politics that our security, our $1 trillion security, would be reduced into a portable item like a pin.
Well, not only that, but anybody could steal that pin.
That's what I'm saying. That's the thing, that the identifying factor is a portable pin.
I would prefer that if you were not shoot bus to score whatever brownie points with your House Minority Leader, and you did that to the detriment of one of your own caucus members, you have no right to expect her to stand with you on any issues from here on out, because you just shot your credibility with her. And yes, there is a sexist element involved here, because I would warn the sisters in the Congressional Black Caucus that you need to look very hard at what's happened to Cynthia, because if it's you, Maxine, or if it's you, Barbara Lee, or if it's you, Stephanie Tubbs Jones, let's see how fast these brothers step to your defense, just like they step.
But wait a minute. We already have the record on this, because I told a girlfriend of mine this story, and she wanted to know one single thing. When I told her that Cynthia McKinney had been called the B word, mm-hmm, on the floor of the Congress, it's in the congressional record by a white congressman, mm-hmm, my girlfriend's question was, what did the brothers do when they called her that? What did they do?
None. There was no record found that they asked Cass Ballinger to be censured. You know, that anybody went before.
Did they step to him on the phone?
Ask him to be censured.
No, did they step to him?
Or formally issue an apology to Cynthia.
Did they step to him on the floor when he said the words out of his mouth?
No, and Mel Watt is on record in his own hometown paper excusing Representative Ballinger.
For calling her a
bee. Basically saying, oh, he was probably stressed or, you know, things got out of hand. He might have gotten heated. How heated can you get when you say, this woman brings out the segregationist element in me?
Ain't that some stuff?
You know, and
he called her a bee.
Yes.
On the floor.
On the floor of the House.
It is part of the congressional record.
Yes, it is.
Never in the history of the congressional record have we had that happen.
No.
And this man who was the chairman of the Black Caucus didn't bust a grape and defended the person, the white congressperson that called her out her name. Because he was calling his mama that, too.
He called his mother that. He called his grandmother that. He called his sister that. If Mel Watt has sisters, if he has we know he had a mother and a grandmother and his wife. That when Cass Ballinger calls a black woman a bitch, he is basically calling all black women bitches. I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have quoted that on the air. But that's just how passionately angry I got about it when I found this out. And then when I went to checking the records to see if any of the male members of the Congressional Black Caucus went on record to say, I want him censured for doing that. And we couldn't find anything.
He didn't even say, you know what, I'd be in jail. I would be the former Congresswoman Liz Brown, because something would have happened. There would have been something thrown down after
that. There was another element that was suggested to me by some of the brothers who support Cynthia. They think that she is a very beautiful black woman. And some of those brothers in the caucus might have tried to step to her, and she was, like, not interested, and they were like, well, okay. Now, here's one way we can pay you back for this.
And again, something would have happened. Something,
yes.
So what about the sisters? What did they do to come to her defense?
I don't know if any of them made any type of public statement, but the ones who have made somewhat of a public statement, they basically just kind of gave the general racism is alive and well in America, and there is an element of truth to racial profiling. They didn't really say anything directly toward Cynthia's defense, but yet they did not come out and say where she should have apologized or she should do whatever. They were very quiet on the matter. This was all the brothers who were saying, you need to apologize and you need to do this, that, and the other. I'm assuming that some of the women were in the meeting when they asked her to apologize. And so my understanding is Cynthia agreed to the apology as long as they stood with her when she issued it. And just as she was getting ready to go to the floor to issue that apology, 11 of the 20 absent, they made themselves absent, including Mel Watt. And so there were 9 or 10 that did stand with her. But she had to remind them that you promised me you'd stand with me if I apologize for this.
And they were gone.
Yes.
And you know what? And I was commenting on this on my show a while ago. How hard it must be. How lonely it must be. How awful it must be to be there and to know that you have no back from anybody. You stood in opposition to the Iraq War. You said that George Bush, boy George, needed to be investigated before anybody else did. You were out there. You were in front. And this is the response that you get from everybody in your party.
Well, I think that, you know, And I'm not defending them by any means. I think that what you have is an element of members of Congress and the Congressional Black Caucus who have been there 10 years or more, and they've gotten fat, happy, and comfortable. And they don't want to go back to the time of activism when you would have to risk what you had making yourself comfortable for the common good.
And I gotta let that be the last word. Whew, thank you so much.
You are quite welcome. Anytime.
Take care. Listen, folks, I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
It's allowed ABC News to see some phone records, bank statements, and photographs that, if authentic, raise questions about the case against Seligman and Daria.
ABC's Aaron Kuchersky live in Durham, North Carolina. If you drive a lot, you won't be surprised. Consumer prices shot up 0.4% last month, then leading the way the ever-rising prices at the pump.
Motorists are already paying more than $3 a gallon in many urban areas. They are here in West Hempstead, New York. And at this rate, economists say summer prices of $3.50 a gallon are not out of the question.
ABC's Nancy Weiner. Yesterday, he was your average tennis-playing 12-year-old. Today, Dax Mayer's making the talk show rounds. He spent hours stuck on New York City's Roosevelt Island tram. A power outage shut down the two cable cars that shuttle people across the East River. As for the others, they were nice, buddy, he says.
There was this one kid who peed in a cup.
And he's not on the talk shows, ABC News.
Well, you can tell your feet to stay right in your seat. A server's gonna bring it to your car. And you can tell your tongue it's gonna have some fun. Cause Applebee's is ready when you are. Car's how they go. Car's how they go. Case you didn't understand. You call up Applebee's. You order what you please.
You have allergies. Discover new Allergy-Burst Citrus Burst. The instant it touches your tongue, it bursts into action. And you know allergy relief is on its way. New Allergy-Burst Citrus Burst is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a great-tasting, quick-dissolving tablet. Get the allergy relief you need to keep going. Try new quick-dissolving Allergy-Burst Citrus Burst. Experience the relief. Use as directed.
It will always be one of those events in which you know exactly where you were when it happened. It was 11 years ago today at almost exactly this time that bomber struck the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. Fire Chief John Hansen talked to reporters that day.
It's very frustrating for firefighters because there are some areas where we're reaching and touching people, but we just can't get to them.
168 people were killed. The man behind the bombing, Timothy McVeigh, was convicted and executed. 2 years before the Oklahoma City bombing, 74 men, women, and children were killed when the Branch Davidian compound outside Waco, Texas, went up in flames. The FBI was ready to move in on the facility and arrest the cult's leader, David Koresh. A deadly shootout followed. Back on the witness stand today, former Enron executive Jeffrey Skilling. It's his seventh day of testimony. Co-defendant Kenneth Lay, the company founder, isn't expected to testify until sometime next week. It's a girl, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. Welcomed daughter Suri last night, 7 pounds, 7 ounces. The celebrity stork also visited actress Brooke Shields. Her second daughter, Greer, was also born. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
For another report of WGNU News, this update is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. I'm Peyton Colson reporting. In St. Louis, employees of Finninger's Catering are in shock after a co-worker shooting spree came to a deadly end there yesterday. Police say the gunman, identified by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch as Herbert Chalmers, first shot his 53-year-old former girlfriend, Sylvia Haynes, at her apartment in North St. Louis. After going to a Walmart to buy ammunition, the gunman then shot three women at Finninger's, killing two of them before taking his own life. Finninger's employee, Colette Meisner, says Chalmers was angry over the garnishment of his wages.
He found out a few weeks back that they were going to take child support out of his check, and he wasn't really happy about that. And the people he hurt really were so good to him that we're all in shock over this.
79-year-old Cleo Finninger, who co-owned the catering business with her husband and Finninger's 44-year-old daughter, Christine Polite, were killed. Another woman was wounded and is reported in stable condition. Meanwhile, in Jefferson City, a spokesperson for the Missouri Republican Party says President Bush's choice for White House budget director is a good one. Party spokesman Paul Sloka says Rob Portman will be a good watchdog of the money Americans send to Washington.
Well, I think when you look at his background, obviously he's got a very solid background. He is the current U.S. Trade Representative, which is obviously a very important position when you're talking about American goods overseas and foreign goods coming to the United States. So he understands the economy, he understands numbers.
Sloka urges the Senate to quickly confirm Portman, who's set to replace Josh Bolton as the new White House budget chief. And finally, at this hour in Columbia, Missouri, Playboy magazine is in search of Mizzou co-eds this week who want to represent their school in the fall 2006 Girls of the Big 12 pictorial. Mary Jo Bankin, the director of the MU News Bureau, says the university is not
construction zone westbound 270 at Canal Bridge and Chain of Rocks Bridge. Look for maintenance operations, reducing that to one lane eastbound 70 from Bryan to 79. That traffic is easing eastbound 40. There's an accident on the ramp to 21st Street. Eastbound 70 at Route A and Lake St. Louis Boulevard. Look for traffic easing after an earlier accident on Bryan Road. Northbound 55 at 143 and State Street. Look for road construction there. There's several other areas of road construction, so just use caution as you roll up through the road construction signs. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by AccountTemps, providing highly skilled financial temporary professionals for over 58 years. Call or visit them today at AccountTemps.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU news or forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day, high in around 70. For this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 70. And Friday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920. WGNU, we have 62 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
the progress of healing the wound before we got the low nation.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. Our discussion this hour is, I guess it's an important discussion in terms of I guess we can make an analogy in terms of our daily living. Locally in the city of St. Louis, there were some decisions made at the school board last night. School board said, you know what, we cannot afford to have this, spend this almost $6 million. We want to try to see if we can, instead of outsourcing this, we want to bring this project in. And people can say that we want to leave no child behind all day long. But where you put the money is really the evidence of your willingness to leave a child behind. We have to look at the priorities of this administration, the priorities of our government, and see how they impact on our everyday life. And we have to raise the question. Is their priority my priority? Should their priority be my priority? We need to talk about this. We need to talk about how much of your tax dollars is going to the military. Because this administration has made it very clear that's their priority and how that impacts on you directly in your community. To facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Northampton, Massachusetts, Anita Dunch. She is the research director for the National Priorities Project. Anita, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Talk to us about the National Priorities Project. What is that?
Well, the National Priorities is a national organization that's a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, and we show the impact of federal policies on local communities.
It's a great website because you can really go state by state to see how the money is being spent.
That's right. We're trying to make it accessible to the average person because, you know, so many of us get lost in all the numbers and what they're doing in Washington, we don't know. But this is just we're at MPP, we're just trying to show that, hey, we, you know, this is our tax money. These decisions impact all of us, and it's important that we understand how federal policies are impacting our towns, our families, ourselves. But it's also important that we have information that we can hold our elected representatives accountable for the decisions they make.
You're kind of doing what Malcolm X said to do, making it plain.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the cost of. Can we do it on? Can you pick a state and can we talk about the issue of military spending? Could you break it down to a state and give us some of the or illustrate for us some of the impacts of the cost or the way that the government is spending on military today?
Well, let's If we talk about the breakdown, that'll apply to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It was just tax day, and we filled out our tax forms, and so one of the things we do at National Priorities Project every year for tax day is show you where your federal income tax dollar goes, and what we found for this year, 29 cents. Out of every income tax dollar you paid went to the military. Now, the median income family in St. Louis, Missouri, we estimate paid around just a little shy of $1,000 in federal income taxes for 2005, since that's when we're filling out our taxes for. And so of that $966, like I said, nearly $1,000, $275 went to military. Now, in the opening, you were talking about education. Well, let's compare that with education. Only $39 went for federal spending on education. That means 4 cents out of your income tax dollar. And again, compared to 29 cents for the military.
And that does make it plain, doesn't it? Does it vary by state, or is that just the way it is across the nation?
Well, the overall breakdown, what's happening is we're all putting, you know, whether we live in St. Louis, Missouri, or we live in Massachusetts, wherever we are, we're putting our money into a pool that pays for various things. And how that breaks out is the same. But what we've offered to kind of break it down at the local level is to show what a median income family in Missouri or a median income family in St. Louis is paying for these categories.
So what are some of the other categories that you look at?
Well, for example, one thing that people find surprising is that nearly 20 cents, 19 cents, of your income tax dollar goes just to make interest payments on the debt. And we've done a historical analysis that indicates about 9 out of that 19 cents can be attributed to the military. So again, if we add the 29 cents plus 9 cents, we're up to 38 cents, either current or past military spending.
Wow.
Which, you know, obviously, that's not leaving a whole lot left for everything else.
We're often, or historically, we have been beaten over the head in a political arena of we've got to cut back on welfare costs. We've got to, the welfare mothers, the welfare system is eating us alive. We've got to cut back on the costs. When we look at that dollar of our tax money, how much of it is going to those types of services?
Well, specifically for temporary assistance for needy families, I'm not even 100% sure because it's such a small part of our tax dollar that, you know, that we don't kind of identify that as a category. What we do identify as a category is called income security, which includes what people call welfare, but it also includes all these a number of other things.
So you have to bundle all these together in order for it to have an impact so that we can actually see it.
Yeah, well, actually, I'll say it's 7 cents on the income tax dollar. However, that includes something called supplementary security income, and that's it's not this stereotype that people have made out about the welfare mother. What that is low-income elderly people, low-income disabled people, low-income blind people who can't work, that's an income support program for them, and that's a lot larger than if we're talking about what gets called welfare, which is a temporary assistance to needy families. But, you know, again, the 7 cents out of the income tax dollar also includes child care spending. It also includes some of the tax credit programs and just generally like adoption and foster care and just other all sorts of programs that target families.
When we look at our tax dollar, is there any way that we can make a comparison with other nations? How are we doing when we compare to other countries?
Well, again, go back to the military. We're generally spending more on the military than other countries. We spend less on a lot of types of programs, you know, whether we're talking about income support for low-income disabled people or we're talking about investing in affordable housing, we spend much less on those things than other countries. The one area which is really interesting is healthcare. And we as a nation, whether we're talking about federal, state, local governments, or what's coming out of our pockets, we're spending more in healthcare than other countries.
How could that be?
How could that be? Exactly, because what we know is if we compare it with 5 years ago, we have 6 million more uninsured. We have a growing percentage of people uninsured.
Everybody.
Right, right. We just don't have the right policies, and we know in this particular situation, we're not looking at a government that's interested in fixing the problem right now. But the problem is fixable. You know, we have to keep that in mind. There are ways of fixing this problem. We just have to, again, let our elected leaders know how we feel, vote for the right ones. I don't know, but we can make a change.
So when you looked at the dollar, when your organization looked at the way where our money is being spent, what was the most, perhaps healthcare was, but what were some of the more surprising things that you found on how we're spending our money?
Well, I guess there's a few different things to say. One is, let's look at housing assistance. And when we talk about what spending in your income tax dollar, we have 2 cents going for housing. But what's interesting about that is housing assistance in this case is for low-income people. It's mainly the Section 8 voucher program, so people who can't afford housing. And we all know, if you look at the statistics about housing, it's just housing's become ridiculously expensive, especially in some parts of the country, not everywhere. But in general, it's going up, and people's jobs, just their incomes aren't covering the rent. What I find interesting about this is housing assistance, year after year, the administration and Congress wants to cut housing assistance and limit the number of people eligible for housing assistance. But on the other hand, we spend twice as much money in a tax expenditure program. So it doesn't, again, it's not showing up on our chart of our federal income tax dollar because it's a tax expenditure program allowing people to have deductions for paying mortgages. Those are people who are usually, not always, but usually better off. They're getting twice as much of a housing assistance benefit than low-income people who are having a hard time either affording to buy a house or having a hard time affording their rent. So again, it goes back to that question of priorities. You know, this what's in the interest of all of us, and you know, are we aiming our tax dollars where they're needed the most?
So it goes back to that.
Yep. The other thing that I find shocking is that if we look at all of our natural resources and the environment, so that's all of the you know, national parks, it's environmental regulation, it's environmental cleanup, which actually affects a lot of, you know, cities, we spend only a penny of our income tax dollar on all of those things put together.
A penny?
A penny. And again, if we go back to the median income family in St. Louis, Missouri, who pays little less than $1,000 in federal income taxes, that comes down to $14.
Wow.
But again, environmental issues, cleanup in particular of environmental dumping. This has been, actually clean water programs, these have been under the axe in recent years.
So where is your website? How do people get to your website?
Our website, if you have internet access, is nationalpriorities.org. And we have a number of very short publications. We try to put, you know, picture paints 1,000 words, so we try to put a lot of graphs and not so many words, but give you the numbers as they boil down to how they impact you.
And again, the great part about your website is that you do it for every state. And you do it for 200 cities, towns, and counties. That's great. That is
right.
Really, really great. And if someone goes to your website, where would you direct them? To what category do you think that would give them the best start at trying to get a feel for how our nation's priorities are?
Well, I think our recent publication, "Where Do Your Tax Dollars Go," gives you paints a picture of where your income tax dollars go, and it gives you a really good idea of what our priorities are. Another thing I think I would look at is we've been tracking the cost of the Iraq War, and you can look up for your city. For example, St. Louis, Missouri, the cost of the war so far, of the Iraq War, just the Iraq War, not other military spending, not the war in Afghanistan, but just the Iraq War, is $232.7 million.
That's just in Missouri.
That's just in St. Louis.
No, that's just St. Louis.
Missouri is $5.2 billion. So St. Louis is $232.7 million. So $233 million, and we have great features where you can say, wow, I don't even, you know, that's a mind-blowing amount of money, whether you're talking $233 million for St. Louis or $5.2 billion for Missouri. But we have various features on our website where you can break this money down into what it means. And I did a little sketching of what $233 million is to St. Louis before the call. And I looked up, the way I figured it out, you could give a four-year college scholarship to every graduating senior in St. Louis, Missouri, and provide health care coverage to 25,000 people in St. Louis. If we took that money and spent it locally.
Mm.
Now, that's not necessarily your priority or whatever, but it's just an example of how do we understand how much money this is. How we understand it is partly what we could do with it if we did something else with it.
Mm. Anita Dunch, Research Director for the National Priorities Project, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Okay. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I will be back after this break. Stay with me.
Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
If you like handmade arts and crafts, you'll love the St. Clair Arts and Crafts Fair. Come on out to St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Friday, April 21st through Sunday, April 23rd. Stroll through the aisles. Discover fine handcrafted jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, candles, gourmet snacks, home decor, and so much more. Delightful and unusual gifts all in one place, all in one stop. Register to win one of dozens of prizes to be given away throughout the weekend, including a $1,000 online shopping spree from MyFreeGifts.com. It's one of the first craft events of the year, and one of the easiest ways to see and buy from many of the area's finest artisans and crafters. All this from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, April 21st and 22nd, and noon to 6 Sunday, April 23rd. The St. Clair Arts and Crafts Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, sponsored by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
I am Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in the lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Connect Care. Still connected.
Rise up, rise up. Everybody gotta rise up. Come follow me, rise up. Rise up. They see myself, got to rise up. You got to rise up. Rise up. Everybody gotta rise up. Yeah, you gotta rise up. Rise up.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You know what? I feel anxious, you know, unsettled. And I know that part of it I can attribute to the state of the world, just that there is so much going on. So many things that are going on in our world. But I was talking to some friends the other day,
And I was telling him, I said, you know, and we were talking about, wow. In the state of Texas, in the month of April, rolling blackouts. Okay? Rolling blackouts in April. Why? Because it's so hot. There is such a demand for air conditioning. And there is not enough electricity to meet the electrical needs of those citizens. Now, feel me on this. If we are having rolling blackouts in Texas, if we're having rolling blackouts in California in April, good God, what is it going to be like in May? Oh, bump May. What is it going to be like in July? And add to that the obscenity that is the price that we pay for gasoline. You know, and I need to hear some of y'all hollering because this is outrageous. Gas is up to $3 a gallon. It just snuck on up. They took the bullet train and snuck on up to $3 a gallon. Y'all need to be losing your minds. When these sons of guns are getting paid $300 million to leave Exxon, severance pay, y'all need to be losing your mind. $3, you know what? Is it any coincidence that we're paying $3 a gallon of gas now and he got $300 million? You think that they would crack on us like that? You think they would crack on us like that? I say yes. I was talking to a Republican friend yesterday. And I had to hold the phone away from my ear because he was cussing so hard about gas prices and the oil barons and, yes, I said it, George W. Bush. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Make it real, y'all. Make it real. Make it real. We are being ganked. We are being ganked. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You just touched on something that's quite pertinent to everyone on this planet, not just those in Texas and California. But the simple fact that we are already experiencing blackouts.
Rolling blackouts.
I mean, come on.
In April.
And you know, that term I don't really like. Blackouts. It has a negative connotation. You know, to use the word black, I don't think there's anything negative about it. But, you know, there are many solutions to this problem right now. But, as you said, when somebody's getting $300-400 million severance package to leave a company, they don't want this to change.
No,
these
they don't.
Guys are making money hands over fist.
That's bad.
They couldn't be happier. And I would say that we may have a hand in the strife going on, not us, but the government of the United States has a hand in the strife that's going on in Nigeria. We obviously have had a direct impact on the oil flowing out of Iraq.
See, I disagree. I disagree about Nigeria. What's happening with Nigeria is Nigerian people are resisting the gouging and the ganking of their nation by the same people that got a $300 million severance package. What I think is happening is that our good government, just like when George Bush said, oh, they going to Niger to get the yellow cake to make the bombs that are going to blow us off the face of the earth. Blame it on Africa.
blame the gas prices on Africa and Iran when the when it's homegrown. Jowly, $300 million men are making this decision to gank us. It ain't got nothing to do with Niger. It ain't got nothing to do with Nigeria. It ain't got nothing to do with Iran.
Oh, no, no, no. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But see, they know that that stuff is there, and it's going to be there. And now the tables have turned, whereas they don't need to pump that oil out of their country. They want those people to be in a state of just terror. You know, they want these guys to be cutting each other's heads off. But my main point is there's a solution on the table right now. It's been there forever. And that is solar power. You know, think about that.
Solar power and wind power.
You know, renewable energy. But
the thing is,
these guys are just like dope dealers. They don't want us to have those alternatives. They don't want to put that there because then all of a sudden their market disappears. You can put solar panels up on top of your roof and not have to pay another dime to any of these guys that are pumping this stuff and polluting our planet.
Thanks once again,
and always, Liz, you have a good day.
Take care. You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Sharita.
Yes, Liz. How you doing today?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
All right. I thought I would give you a call. I listen to you more than I call in, but I thought since you was on the gas prices, which makes my hair stand up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd call you and let you know. I did the math. I was listening to a show, and they were talking about that the barrels are $71 a barrel.
Yesterday,
they
hit the record.
It's going to get up to $100 a barrel.
Shut up. Shut up.
So if you do the math, that's about $5.50 per gallon by June. I just thought you'd like to know that because I know,
you know what
just makes you so happy.
Get off my phone.
Have a good day.
All right. Yeah. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Frank.
Yeah, Liz, that thing in Texas, did you read the whole story about that?
Uh-uh.
The main reason for the rolling blackouts, the minor reason was not normally you don't have 90-degree temperature in April, but the big reason for the rolling blackouts is because in this month is when Texas shuts down plants that create electricity to do maintenance.
And
that's the time they set every year.
So every year at this time they have rolling blackouts?
No. Every time this year they shut like three of the generating plants down.
Okay, I got that.
For maintenance.
I got that. But
now the heat comes.
Right.
The plants are shut down.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they can't create enough electricity.
But here's the piece. The piece, again, is the fact that we have this record heat. We're having the same thing happen in California. We have heat coming at us, and we're not able. Did they call in defense of or in opposition to the cuts to Medicaid? No. Did they call in when the lie has been revealed about what happened in Iraq? No. The call is to call in and to defend the oil barons. Isn't that something? And then the charge that is made at me is that I censor the news. No, you defend the indefensible. The things that get you to call are in defense of the most indefensible. Ain't that something? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. I'm taking a break.
Doula, doula, mama, doula, doula, mama, doula, doula, mama, doula, 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 mama.
Friday because we care, Drawl. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Kampala. A report has been issued in connection with the helicopter crash last July that killed John Garang, a former rebel leader and the vice president of Sudan. His death resulted in an outbreak of violence that caused the killing of 130 people and threatened to derail a peace deal that put an end to a 20-year civil war there. The report indicates the crash was caused by several errors made by the pilot of the aircraft. The most critical mistake was the decision to fly through a mountain range in bad weather and not use the onboard navigation equipment. And Dateline Washington, the Air Force says it may stop a multi-billion dollar program that is designed to upgrade the electronic system of the C-130 cargo aircraft. Boeing has had the contract for the work to install and upgrade the cockpit electronics, and that's valued at about $3.5 billion, good through the year 2010. But now the Air Force has discovered that a buyer for the Air Force, a Darlene Drunyan, manipulated that contract to Boeing before she got a $250,000 job with the company. The Air Force says it may instead simply purchase new planes instead of trying to continue with the complicated upgrading. The C-130 is made by Lockheed Martin, which also had a bid on that upgrade work. A congressional report came out in December and warned of problems with the upgrade program. The Pentagon considered canceling the contract until it found out there would be early termination charges of close to $2 billion. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Washers, dryers, TVs, big screens, DVDs, the exercise equipment, tools, tractors, lawnmowers. Get it all right here.
The quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your health care needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community. The struggle for fairness on the award-winning wake-up call.
More than a tragedy, emotions be gravity. Plane fell from the sky, we trying to figure what happened. Burning churches, fearing God, who can be so cruel? We are ignorant to AIDS, to the happiness of you. Just be a man, make plans, listen to your voice. A woman's trying to make decisions, we should leave them a choice. It's who we didn't say who lives and dies.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920 WGNU. Get up, get to me. Andrew.
Yes, Liz. I think that on this gas thing, I think that Bush is using this as a win-win thing because he's in the oil business. And if the oil keeps going up, he keeps making money whether he's, while he's in office and out of office. And also, it would be his, for his bid to run for a third term to keep a war going, and the spike with his oil it's sort of like a distraction from the fact that he's trying to start a war in order to maintain his position in office?
And Andrew, I think that if we were 2 years, if this was 2 years ago, I would roll with you on that. But here we have a man who is at historic lows for a person sitting in the White House. We also have a man who is at historic lows for a number of different other measurements that you use to determine whether or not a person would be a viable candidate. His party is at historic lows. I don't think that anybody would ever want to put somebody up to run for something given what the polls are saying about George Bush and his party. So I don't think it's a tee up in that respect. I agree with you that there is a money-making component to this, and a huge money-making component of this. And I also believe that it's a money-making component from the perspective of he wants these people to continue to give money to his friends so his party can stay in power. But distraction, no, because, I mean, or if it is distraction, Andrew, it is the saddest kind of distraction in the world, because you don't want us to look at the war, so you'd rather us look at $4 a gallon gas. That's going to make us happy. If that's all you've got to distract us with, you don't have much you don't understand the concept of distraction.
Right. What it is that the distraction is not just the oil. It's the fact that he's trying to get this third term approved. And with this sitting president and a war going on, it's usually that they try to keep them in office because they know what's going on with the war. So with the oil increase and everything, people are fighting for this to get the oil down, and he's fighting it to distract them a different way. So if he's got a war going, then that's a distraction, because he's saying that I'm trying to get this oil to go back down, and we have to fight this country and this country because of this mass destruction. It's a lot of distraction there.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. 454-0400 is my phone number.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this Dr. Brown?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good morning.
Hey,
you know, I'm going to tell you, that was a successful meeting last night.
Wasn't it wonderful?
Congratulations on your help and us getting there.
That's wonderful.
It was excellent. But with Boy George, he is constantly testing limits. And he's going to test them and test them until somebody twists his arm. I'm telling you, he's begging for some control. It's a matter of control him. He's begging for it.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, but the man is dangerous.
Ooh.
Okay, thank you for keeping up with the news.
All right, now. 454-0400 is my phone number. I gotta tell this. Howard's making me tell this joke again. I won't tell him. Let me tell you this joke. George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld are flying on Air Force One. George Bush looks at Dick Cheney and chuckles. He says, "You know what?" As they're sitting back kicking it, "I could throw $1,000 bill out the window right now and make somebody very happy." Dick Cheney shrugs his shoulders and says, "So? I could throw 10 $100 bills out the window and make 10 people very, very happy." And Romy says, "You know what? I'm part of this conversation, too. So, you know, I could throw $110 bills out the window and make 100 people very happy." The pilot's sitting up front with the co-pilot, and he cracks his mouth and rolls his eye and says, opens his mouth a little bit and says, "Shoot, listen to them talk. Heck, I could throw the three of them out the window and make 56 million people unbelievably happy. How that?" 454. That's a joke that was sent to me. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Andre.
No, that was wrong. But I love it. Don't you think I'm not going to remember? You know, speaking about, I was saying, there are a whole lot of people in this country associate Hugh Hefner and Larry Flint with obscenity. As far as I'm concerned, this whole thing with the chairman of Exxon, he would sully their good name. I just would not even, I really don't even like the way that what he's doing is even associated with obscenity. It's so far past.
Oh, it is.
Obscenity don't even live in that neighborhood.
Okay. Obscenity.
The gated community.
Obscenity can't get into that community.
No.
It doesn't
no.
have the profile to get into that community.
It's not on the guest list.
Oh, no. You ain't low enough to come here.
No. Really? Not low enough.
Mm.
And as far as the thing with the Congressional Black Caucus, you know, I was sitting here...
And Cynthia McKinney.
I was sitting here listening to this, and it hurts so bad listening to the way that these gutless, well, I can't say the word I'm thinking of, brothers, so-called, mistreated this sister. It made me think, you remember that scene from The Color Purple where Sophia was being attacked by the white boys, and all those black men stood around watching her, and nobody helped her. That's what it made me think of. How can any of them now claim to be true representatives of black people and want our vote, want our support, when they would not even support their own mama, their own sister, their own aunt, represented in that one black woman? And demand that she apologize to this white boy whom wronged her, and then they do a disappearing act on her?
They're awful.
It's awful. Ain't good enough.
They're awful.
Awful ain't good enough.
They're
it's
awful.
Really not.
Thanks
and
for your call. Andre got a roll, but thanks okay. for your call. Mario.
Yes.
Yes, quickly, please.
Yes. How you doing, sister?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, I'm with the Provisional Government Republic of New Africa, and you were talking about the gas.
Mm-hmm.
The whole question comes down to energy, because you have to deal with, you know, that gas price affects food, housing, everything. And one of the problems is that without the information, people don't know how to deal with these folks, you know, because we could do things to get off the grid, to save monies from energy, you know, paying for the energy and all.
Facts. All right, Mario. Thank you so much. Chief of Staff Karl Rove is giving up his policy role to focus on politics. The president says if he had it to do all over again, he'd still have gone into Iraq.
I don't expect everybody to agree with my decision to go into Iraq. But I do want the people to understand, the American people to understand, that failure in Iraq is not an option.